Hi everyone, I'm Jason Scorse and welcome to another episode of Dispatch from the Zombie Apocalypse. I hope everybody is doing great. For this week's episode, I'm going to do another version of the What I'd Like to Hear Democrats Say. So this will be part two. And there are a ton of issues roiling around in the news. There's the DACA about the Dreamers. And there's obviously a lot of issues, as always, with gun violence. There's environment and voter suppression. And so I'm going to get to all of that in a moment. But I want to kind of start with and then end with two general themes. And the first general theme is, what is the overall critique of the GOP that I think the Democrats should make? And while the GOP is wrong and wicked on just about every issue, and really doing grave damage to our country, I think the focus should be on the economics, because whether we like it or not, economic issues are what drive votes. Even if they're not conscious, when people feel good about their economic prospects, they tend to vote for those in power, which happen to be Republicans now. And when they don't, they vote against the current occupants of power. And while the economic status of the United States in aggregate is overall pretty solid now, there's a lot of disturbing trends still going on. And I think the Democrats need an overall critique of the Republican economic message. And so I'd like to put forth what I think should be that overall critique. And it's quite simple. I've hinted at it, intimated at it in earlier episodes. And it is this: that the Republican Party is a plutocratic party. Its entire goal is to take money from the middle class and the poor and channel it to the rich. And how do they do that? They do that by distracting and dividing America. And then they run to the bank with all the money. And so the big critique here is that America, wise up, wake up to the divide and conquer strategy. The GOP uses racism and division and class warfare to have all of us in the bottom 90% fighting and distracted while they run off with the corporate tax cuts and the capital gains tax cuts and the estate tax cuts, and run up massive deficits, which then are used an excuse to cut programs for the rest of us. That is the GOP program. And I think we can put a big exclamation point on that by pointing out that the current Trump budget, what is in writing, is a pure testament to this fact. All of the things Trump said he was going to do, he is now gone against in writing in his budget. So his budget actually cuts infrastructure. So there's been all this talk about $1 trillion of infrastructure spending. This budget on net cuts infrastructure spending. He promised never to touch Medicare. This budget cuts Medicare by hundreds of billions of dollars. It cuts economic development programs for Rust Belt states and rural communities. It cuts healthcare facilities for rural communities. And all the while, massively boosting the defense spending, or what I really think is offense spending, which is going through the roof, and then, of course, just giving massive tax breaks to the rich and killing financial regulation. So what I've said is a mouthful here. Obviously, that's not a bumper sticker's worth, and it's not a pithy narrative here. But the substance of what Democrats should be saying to on Republicans is not arguing with them on any individual issue, not arguing about what the tax rate should be or about this or that financial regulation or, you know, this or that tweak to the healthcare law. The overall critique of the Republicans, the Democrats should just hammer day in, day out, every day from here on, is that the Republicans are scamming you. Middle-class America, low-income America, you're being scammed. They're lying and cheating and giving all the money to the rich. Well, they blame it on the Chinese or the Mexicans or the immigrants or whatever. And that's their divide and conquer strategy. So don't fall for it. The Republican Party is taking you for suckers, and don't take the bait. So I think that is a pretty good message and could use some refining. But I think if we repeated that day in and day out and that became associated and it happens to be the truth, that would be a great meme to attach and pin onto the GOP. When you think it's peace and safety, a sudden disruption, collective security, for surety, yeah. Don't forget your history. Okay, so I think the two next topics to discuss here are DACA and gun issues. And I think the Democrats are on very strong ground on both of these if they can get their act together. So on the DACA, and just the refresher, right, this is the deferred action for the children who were brought here with their illegal immigrant parents. So they were came here as children. They've known no other country really than the United States. They're law-abiding, they've gone to school here, they speak English, and they are ready to contribute to American society. There's about an estimated 1.8 million of these young people. They're the most sympathetic group of illegal immigrants in the United States, and the polling on this is unequivocal, you know, high majorities here that want to give them some form of legal status and even potential path to citizenship. The reason this has been an issue is because the Trump administration about 5-6 months ago decided to revoke this kind of deferred status that the Obama administration had put into place. And they said, we want Congress to deal with this. So the two things to understand here is that this problem was precipitated by Trump. This problem did not have to exist. Trump could have just let the deferred action program go on, and while not granting citizenship or full legal status to these young people, they at least wouldn't have been in fear of deportation and they could have gone about their lives. So this crisis was 100% of Trump's making. And with the GOP-controlled Congress unwilling to create a legislative fix, all of this is now on the Republicans. It is their failure of leadership and their failure of legislating that has created this problem. And the Democrats should remain firm and resolute that they are not going to trade the DACA children for a white supremacist wish list. They should use those words. We are not going to trade, you know, legal status for these immigrant children for Steve Miller's white supremacist wish list to, you know, radically reduce legal immigration to the United States. That is a fool's errand, that we need high-skilled immigrants to come here for our economic growth and our prosperity. That is the American way. And if the Republicans are going to start deporting dreamers, it is on them. It is their failure. And the way to prevent this from happening is to vote for Democrats. And that Democrats will continue the DACA and will do everything in their power to give full legal status and eventually citizenship to these 1.8 million children. So I think that should be as clear and unequivocal as possible. I have not seen that coming out of the Democratic leadership, but I think that's easy to articulate if they would just focus on that. The next issue, obviously, is the gun issue. And I don't have a huge amount to say on this, except that I think the Democrats should be unequivocal that the Republican Party cares more about the NRA than the lives of children. And they should just say that. They care more about appeasing the NRA, and I think they should use that word appeasement, appeasing the NRA and their NRA donors than on the lives of American children. And that the Democrats are standing by ready to make meaningful, common sense regulations to reduce gun violence in our society, that this is going to be a hard problem to eliminate given our Second Amendment and the proliferation of guns in our society. But we are willing and able to make common sense cause with anyone who wants to vote with us on taking away assault rifles and, you know, things that are approximating machine guns and making much stronger checks on who can own guns. And I think we should use the NRA's language against them. I don't claim credit for this, but Bill Maher on a recent episode talked about how the NRA uses the words law-abiding citizens to kind of cushion itself and protect itself against any kind of critiques. And I think the Democrats should absolutely use that language to their effect, which is to say, we believe that most gun owners are law-abiding citizens, and we want to increase the laws and change the laws so that people with, you know, mental health issues, or people who beat their wives, or people who have, you know, battery or any kind of, you know, criminal records cannot get guns. And we should close all the loopholes and say, therefore, people who abide by the laws and are not risks to society will still be able to get guns, and those who are not will not. And that we are doing this because we believe the rights of our children to leave violence-free lives and to not be gunned down in school is great enough that there should be some additional impediments to getting a gun. Just as there's an impediment to getting a car. We don't, as soon as people turn 18, we don't just say, hey, you can have a car and just go buy one off the lot and drive away. We make people take tests and get licenses. That we want something to that effect on guns, and that we feel that is a reasonable thing to ask in order to protect the lives of children. And that if the Republican Party believes that the lives of children are not important enough for those, they should make it clear and they should answer to the people. Because right now, they are basically a lobbying arm for the NRA and nothing else. So I think those are pretty strong. And I think if the Democrats can't draw that clear distinction, I think that's a pretty good indication that they are not winning the messaging war here. I think it's unfortunate that we have these tragedies, both in the fate of immigrant children and in children being gunned down, to have to use that to point out the differences in the parties. But that's what politics is about. Politics is about drawing distinctions, and we have two very easy ones to draw currently.
What's the solution to stop all this confusion? Rewrite the Constitution, change the drug in which you use it. Rewrite the Constitution or the Emancipation Proclamation. We fight inflation, yet the president's still on vacation. Crew is called BDP, and if you wanna go to the tip top, stop the violence in hip hop. Why, oh, this might sound a little strange to you. Well, here's the reason I came to you. We gotta put our heads together and stop the violence, 'cause real bad boys move in silence. When you're in a club, you come to chill out, not watch someone's blood just spill out. That's what these other people want to see.
Okay, the next issues that I think the Democrats should work on, I think are real, real winning issues. And the first one is on voting rights. And so let me just put out a fact here that's come out with some research, which is that more than the Russian interference in the election, more than the fake news on Facebook and all this, it is just the general standard GOP voter suppression, this racist voter suppression that's been going on, but really accelerated the last couple years, but been going on decades, that really is the biggest threat to voting. And just as a refresher, right, we have in the United States, we don't have national election law, you know, that is very strict. It's basically left to the state. So that's why the states have different days that you can vote and different open hours, and whether it's you can vote by absentee ballot and different machines. And so it's completely insane, right, that we're supposed to be the world's leading democracy, and yet we have no standardized voting system at all. And it's, you know, we have decrepit voting systems where people have to wait 10 hours to then places where it's 100% vote by mail and it's super efficient. So we just have a literally insane voting system. And it's made worse because as Republicans gained control of state legislatures, they have been using their power to racistly suppress the votes of minorities, black people, Hispanics, and also students, because students often vote more liberally and vote for Democrats. So it's not just racism, it's also harmed students. And so I think this is a real easy win for Democrats, which is that Democrats believe all U.S. citizens should have an easy access to the ballot, and that as the world's leading democracy, we should be doing everything in our power to make it easier to vote. And we should be saying that the reason Republicans are focused on voter suppression is because they're scared of democracy. They're scared of the will of the people. The only way they can win is by taking away people's voting rights, because they know their ideology is unpopular, and that they basically win by cheating. That's how they win. And that we, the Democrats, want everyone to vote because we believe in our message. We believe that if people have a choice and have, you know, access to voting, we can win. And that it should be the case that we both want as many people to vote as possible, and then let whoever has the best ideas win. And so that the Democrats want to stand for expanded voting rights across all 50 states so that all citizens have the right to vote. I mean, if we can't win on that messaging, you know, why are we even called Democrats, right? This should be a no-brainer. And I think this should really be high up on the platform of things, you know, the Democrats want to do. I think this will galvanize people. It'll galvanize the base. It will galvanize minorities. It will galvanize young people and students. And I think it's also something that speaks to everybody, right? It's our basic democratic ideals that if you are a citizen of the United States, you should have an easy access to voting. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. The other thing that I think is not getting the attention it deserves, and oftentimes because other things are taking up the political oxygen, I think we really should come with a strong environment message, not in the ways that, you know, we've seen in messaging. I think, unfortunately, a lot of using the word environment doesn't poll well with a lot of people because it's been tarnished. I even think climate change, as much as we need to be very strong in it, I don't think that should be the leading. I think it's a Democrats stand for protecting your air and water quality for you and your children and your grandchildren, and for conserving and protecting nature, right? And preventing the big polluting companies from destroying your quality of life. That the GOP is there, and they're basically a, you know, a wholly paid subsidiary of the oil, gas, and coal industry. And while we, you know, have no problem with those industries existing in America if they are law abiding, we are here to protect you and protect your air and water quality so that your children are not exposed to dangerous levels of air pollution and lead in the water and mercury and the things that, you know, destroy brain capacity and lead to cancer and early death. Again, if we can't have a winning issue on we want to be the party of clean air and water and protecting your quality of life for your family, I mean, what are we doing here if we can't do that? And with the GOP's all-out assault on environmental regulation this past year, we just have a tremendous opening. And again, this should be a message that resonates with a large swath of Americans, because I don't know many people who are pro mercury and lead and air pollution for their children with asthma. So anyway, I will come back after the break with my final thoughts on how the Democrats can message going forward. So to wrap this segment up here, I think the core goal and message of the Democratic Party, and this one's a little tricky, whereas the things I've talked to, you know, up to this point are pretty straightforward in my estimation. This one's a little tricky, but I think what we need to create in America is that it is socially unacceptable to vote for the GOP for at least the next generation. And I mean that quite seriously, right? The GOP is enabling a white supremacist lunatic traitor and his agenda, right? That is just a fact that Donald Trump is a traitor. Now, when we be clear here, I don't know, and neither does anybody else yet, except maybe Donald Trump and his inner circle, the extent to which Trump did or did not collude with the Russians. I want to be clear. I'm not basing my statement that Trump is a traitor on that. I am basing it on the things we know for a fact in public, that he praised Putin, and he urged the Russians to hack Hillary's emails and share them with us. And more importantly, that it is the on record that the Russians have interfered with our elections and continue to do so, and he has not done anything about it. He doesn't talk about it. He hasn't directed his national security team to do anything about it. The President of the United States has been informed for over a year that a hostile foreign power has actively and is actively attacking our election system, and he has shrugged and ignored it. That is a treasonous act, right? If someone is attacking the United States and the president ignores it, that's treason. Okay, so the President of the United States is a traitor, and the Republicans know this. At the same time, they are enabling a corrupt and inept administration to just decimate the key institutions that make America at least a strong and prosperous nation. I would, great is a more subjective term, but certainly the institutions that make us who we are, right? The State Department, the EPA, the courts, the FBI, the core institutions that have their faults, no doubt, but are really what makes America. America is America because of these institutions. It's not an abstract concept. Many of these posts remain unfilled. We have entire agencies that are, you know, that literally just kind of atrophying. He's directly attacking our legal system and our national intelligence agencies, right? He has put at the head of many of our major departments complete incompetent nut jobs, from Rick Perry to Ben Carson to Betsy DeVos, right? We have lunatic nut jobs running major agencies, you know, in charge of our nuclear weapons and our energy policy and our housing policy. This is the recipe for national suicide, and the Republican Party is enabling this so they can, you know, get their Supreme Court pick, get their guns into the hands of every American citizen, and give away massive money to the top 1%. So the Democrats, at the core, we should be making it socially unacceptable for the vote Republicans to say, look, you might have grown up with Republicans. There might be individual issues where you agree with Republicans, but in voting for Republicans, you are undermining the United States of America. You are essentially committing a treasonous act. Now, again, we don't want to be that strong about it, but that's the underlying message we should be getting across. You are undermining America if you vote for a Republican at any level of government, because it is one part power structure that feeds on itself. If you vote for them at the state level, they're going to do voter suppression. They're going to destroy the environment. They're going to kowtow to the NRA at the expense of your children, right? It doesn't matter at what level you vote for them. Voting for the GOP at this point, until they are destroyed and reconstitute themselves as a true patriotic party with the best interests of America in mind, it is just socially unacceptable to vote for them. And I think that's got to be the underlying message, that the GOP has jumped the tracks here. They are a corrupt to the core party, and they need to be dismantled and ultimately rebuilt. And so if you are a true conservative, you should not be voting for the GOP. And we should make this very clear. It is not traitorous or treasonous to be a conservative, but it is to vote for Republicans, and that Republicans are not a conservative party. They are a plutocratic party, or again, like I like to say, they're a white grievance cult in the service of plutocracy. I think that is the most accurate description. So anyway, that's a tall order, but I think we can get there. I think everything I'm laying out is based in fact and reason, and reason and fact can still win the day, that the zombie apocalypse is not so strong that reason and fact cannot ultimately prevail. So that is the message I want to leave you with, and I hope all of you have a great rest of the week. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please share it with family, friends, and colleagues, and rate it and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and Stitcher. And with that, everybody, take care.